few weeks ago, we embarked on a journey together, and our launching passage was found in the book of 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, where the Word of God says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face," it says, "He will hear us." Amen? God says, "I will hear you." And God is a God who hears us. I want to continue with that particular thought today, but this time going a little bit deeper with the thought of having your miracle. Having your miracle. There's a world of difference between receiving a miracle and having a miracle. Let me say that again. There's a world of difference between receiving a miracle and having a miracle. Let me explain it this way. How many of you have cell phones? So you must receive text messages. Now, somebody sends you a text message, and on their phone, they will see the word delivered. Yes? Which means it is received on the other end. But having it is in the reading of it. Make sense? Okay. So you see the difference. God says to us that everyone who asks receives. If you ask God for anything, you will receive a response. But that does not mean that you have it. Because the Word of God says in Mark 11, if we may go there, please. Mark chapter 11. Looks like I don't have any help today or yet, but I will get it. Mark 11. So I have to source my scriptures. Mark 11, beginning to read from verse 21. Mark 11, beginning to read from verse 21. That's very good. I'm glad I have it. Mark 11, 21. The story is about how Jesus, our Lord, was hungry. And he wanted to eat fruit from a fig tree. Remember that story? Okay. And he approaches the fig tree and he found nothing but leaves. Please remember that. He found nothing but what? Leaves. The Bible says it was not the season for figs to produce fruit. So he says, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said to the tree, meaning the tree was saying something to Jesus. I suppose the tree was saying, it is not the season for producing figs. Why are you trying to get figs from me when it's not my time or my season? Think about that. It's not my time or my season to give you figs. It's not the season for figs. Jesus answered and said, "Okay, since that's what you believe, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." The Bible says his disciples heard it. Now in verse 21, when they came back, in verse 20, they found that particular fig tree was dried up, withered right to its roots. Think a moment. Withered to, from the roots up. Where are the roots? Underground. So it is not something that can be seen visibly. But the impact of that fig tree been withered from its root was manifested in what was up here. In essence, something supernatural happened, because when a tree dies, it does not wither overnight. You can still see something on the leaves, something. But just as... Are you listening? I know I'm talking real slow, but I want you to get it. The tree is withered, meaning everything on top, on the surface, is gone. Leaves and all. It is withered. Why did this tree that Jesus wanted to change its season from a season that was not normal or natural, why did it believe the word of the Lord that was negative? Do you know how many people come to church and believe negative things, but the positive things that God is speaking to them, they don't buy into that? Let me say that again. God says, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you are healthy, but you look at yourself and say, right. But if somebody comes and tells you, you are a fool, you're going to fail in life. He said, I'm a fool, and I'm going to... You believe that. That's that tree. It withered believing the curse, but refused to believe the blessing. Are we together so far? It received the word, the expectation of Jesus, but did not have it, because it did not believe that it could do what Jesus was asking it to do. But he had received and kept the negative word that was spoken. Henceforth, nobody's going to eat fruit from you. Jesus said, nobody's going to eat fruit from you. Meaning, nobody is going to eat fruit from it. Jesus did not say, wither and die. Did you get the point? The Lord never said, wither and die. You want to just produce leaves? That's okay. Produce all the leaves you want. But since you don't want to give fruit to me, your creator, you're just going to be the way you are now. Your season is not going to change. And the interpretation of the tree is, if my season is not going to change, I die now. And so many people die now, not because God said die. They just die. They choose to have what God did not say to them. I want you to ask yourself this question today. What am I believing about myself and what God thinks about me? Some people always think my cup is half empty. They never think half full. The person who thinks half empty sees himself going down. The person who's seen half full sees the possibility of going up. How do you perceive your life? Because as a man thinketh, so is he. You think you are a failure? That's exactly what you are. You will always fail. You will self-sabotage every time. But if you believe that God has created you to win, and that from the very first moment of your existence, even in your mother's womb, that you were created to win, you live the life of a winner. Well, you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, when I was in biology class, they told me about the sperm and the egg. And the sperm is supposed to fertilize the egg that became you. But the sperm, there was not just one sperm. There were possibly millions of sperm heading towards that egg. Yes? And the one that fertilizes that egg became you. That means the very fact that you are here is because you won. The very first battle of your life, you won it. I don't know if you're hearing me. That means you have the DNA of a winner. Do you understand? You're a winner. You've got to think that way. I am a winner. I'm a victor. And don't think in terms of being victimized. I'm a victor. I'm a survivor. I am resilient. If I fall down, I get back up, because down is not my state. I walk uprightly. Amen? Glory be to God. Dogs, all kinds of animals, they have legs and hands. Most of them. But they are always, or paws, whatever it is. Excuse me. Stop troubling me this morning. They're going like that. But you are walking. Because you're meant to walk. You're meant to stand. If you see a monkey or a dog, then use a dog, that's a better example. If you see a dog walking on two legs, you say that's abnormal. That's not normal for that dog to be doing that. Well, it's abnormal for you to be on all fours. That's not your stance. You're supposed to walk uprightly. If a dog sees you going like that, it will come start sniffing you. Yeah, so don't be doing that. Get up. Hallelujah. Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in what? Have faith in God. Have God's kind of faith. It can be translated that way also. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whatever the mountain is, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall what? Not doubt in his heart. Not doubt in his heart. Not doubt in his heart. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall what? Have whatsoever he said or is saying. So, on one hand, you're saying something. He says, but you must not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you are saying is what you're going to get. Now, what happens when You're saying one thing, and then you shift and you start saying something else. Well, you're not going to get anything. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, whatever it is that you desire, when you pray, believe that ye what? Receive them, and then you shall what? Have them. So there are two things, two different things. Receiving and having. To receive, the word is the word lambano. And it simply means to claim to oneself. So when you're praying and you're believing God for something, you claim it to yourself. In a sense, name it and claim it. It's not a bad statement, even though it has been trivialized. Okay? You name it, you claim it. That is lambano. That's lambano. So, I receive it. But where are you receiving it? You're receiving it in the realm of the Spirit. In the spiritual realm, it is already released to you. Then you can have it. This receiving, when it is properly orchestrated under the leading and the guidance of the Spirit of God, you recognize that the praying of a thing, the asking for a thing, is because you have an imagination, imaging of the thing. Nothing here that you see here happened without imagination. There won't be a chair if somebody did not imagine it first. Do you understand? You won't be driving a car if somebody did not imagine it. Somebody was walking one day and said, this walking thing is taking too long. There's got to be another way. And they created a wheel. And they had carts. And they had horses. So that was the first stage. And then somebody, after thousands of years of going through the horse and the cart, they thought about it. There's got to be a way to go faster than this. And they created engines with, guess what they call it? Horsepower. Yes? Horsepower. And that became the car. But we cannot drive the car all the way to Timbuktu. There's got to be another way. Maybe we can fly like those birds. And somebody started thinking, looking at whatever it is that was available, and applying principles. And today we can fly. But it all happened in the imagination. When they received that imagination, they received what was in the realm of the Spirit. But they worked on that which they have received in the realm of the Spirit, and by, they had it. They can touch it. The receiving aspect is so spiritual. The having aspect is so here. It's a manifestation of that which has been received. Do you get that? It's an imagination. Okay, but that imagination is seeded inside of you, because what you cannot see in the realm of the Spirit, you cannot have in the natural. So what does the enemy do? He tries to distort the picture of what you are seeing in the realm of the spirit. How does he do it? By speaking lies into you, and those lies may come from all kinds of sources. You can't this because of that, because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that, and so on and so forth. But the image of what God wants to do, hear this, he put inside of you. What you see may not be what she sees. So she cannot receive what you see. Are you with me? Come. We're going somewhere. So it's imperative that as you are receiving, that you don't let anybody talk you out of what you have seen in the realm of the spirit. I'm calling it your imagination, but it's more than that. It is the birthing of a reality that is in the spiritual realm that you are beholding. You are seeing it. The Bible says, Jesus asked his disciples, how much food do we have here? While he was asking them that question, he knew what he was going to do. How did he know what to do? Because he said he couldn't do anything except what he saw the Father doing. So the visions that he was seeing were the imaging that God was showing to him. Okay. Now, come with me. Don't allow anything to distract you. That imaging that God is showing to you is his will in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. But it starts out with hallowed be thy name. Lord, let your name be hallowed. Let your name be glorified. You're showing me something? Lord, let there be a manifestation of that which you are showing. Let there be a manifestation of that which you are releasing. Let there be a manifestation of that which you are revealing to me. For there shall be a performance of that which God has spoken. Did you get that so far? So, in the realm of the Spirit, it is done. My issue is not in the receiving, because God already told me in his word that whoever asketh, receiveth. My issue is, how do I manifest that which is in heaven in the earth? What are the obstacles? Even though I didn't make it as a point, one of the obstacles is the voices that you're listening to. The voices of doubt. The voices of other people speaking into your situation who do not see what you are seeing. So many people get their lives derailed because they are not targeting what God said. What did God say? God said this. Then stick with it. Praise the Lord. Stick with it, because that's how you're going to get the manifestation of the will of God in your life. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Another thing that will stop you from receiving, or having rather, is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. So the Lord says, when you start praying, forgive if you have aught against any, because that is going to block your access of receiving and having what is coming through. unforgiveness drains, let me put it this way, drains the power of the capacity of you receiving and having what God has already promised you by saying to you, if you ask, you receive. But if you're going to have it, you cannot have unforgiveness. How many things have you lost because of unforgiveness? I mean, think about that. You don't have it because of unforgiveness. Now, let me go a little bit deeper for a moment. Come with me to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. I'm going to take it from verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. It says, ask, and it shall be what? Given you. Seek, and ye shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be what? Opened unto you. For everyone that what? Asketh, does what? Receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be what? Opened. Verse 9 says, or what man is there of you whom if his son as bread will give him a stone? In essence, God is saying to us, if you ask me for something, I'm going to give you exactly what you're asking. If you ask for a fish, I'm not going to give you a what? Serpent. You ask me for this, you're going to get that. Now, this verse is in a very interesting point in the passage. So I want to go to verse 1 and read through till I get to this. And I'll tell you what the point is. The Lord Jesus Christ is a master teacher. And in one breath, he can be teaching you 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 things. And this is a typical passage. Because he's teaching about judgment and all kinds of other stuff. But really what he's talking about is about the asking and receiving. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with the judgment that you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, it shall be meet. It shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote off of your brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And you think he's left the subject. No, he's still right dead center on the subject. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. What do dogs do? They return to their vomit. Yeah? Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. What do swines do? Grovel in the mud. They can't stay clean. Lest they, the dog, the swine, trample them under their feet. And what were you saying about paws? And turn again and rend you. Verse 7. Ask. But wait a minute. Did you just change again? No. while he is talking about judgment, while he's talking about how you give, he's talking about something called focus. You didn't get that. Focus. If you're judging, make sure that your focus is right. Don't be having a beam. Focus. If you're going to be given something, focus. Make sure that you're not handing it over to dogs and swine. Focus. And then he says, ask. What on earth? What is he talking about? He's saying, when you ask, be focused. Did you get that? Now, many years ago, the Lord taught me something that shocked me. Actually, when he was speaking to me about it, it sounded so off. I said, I don't know. I don't know about what you're talking about. And what he said was, there are certain things I did that I did wrong to show you the right way to do it. I said, you did some things wrong? He said, yeah. I said, like what? He said, you remember me going to that fig tree? Let's go back to Mark 11. In Mark 11, talking about the fig tree, it says, to us concerning the fig tree, says, and verse 12, it says, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was what? Hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find what? Anything thereon. I said, okay, what are you getting at? He said, I went there looking for anything. My mindset was anything. I was not focused. I was not precise. And therefore, I gave voice to the fig tree to say whatever it had to say. I said, huh? Yeah. He said, I found leaves, lots of leaves. Leaves are anything. Oh, yeah. Interesting. I said, I get it. He said, you got to be specific. Know what you want and ask for what you want. I said, but how am I going to know this? He says, He, God, will grant you the desires of your heart. Grant you what desires? The desires that He wants you to desire. Huh. And then He gives you that which you have desired, which was His desire for you. So when you don't know what to do, you go to God and say, God, not my will, but your will. What do you want me to say? And that's how it happens. Many times we pray and ask amiss. And we don't get what we're asking because that's not part of the agenda of God for you. If you receive everything you ask for, thank God He separated the receiving from the having. It is the wisdom of God that separated the receiving from the having. Because if everything you've asked God for, you received and you had, you will not be a happy camper. There are some things that I ask God for, and I thank God today. Thank you, you did not give me that. driving down Selkirk over here and down St. James, you know, when we didn't have a house. And we wanted to be landlord because we came from a place where you just had to be a landlord. My father was a landlord. I grew up that way. I had to have my own house. But I did not have the money. So I started looking at some little dingy houses that were like 800 square foot houses. If we can only have a house like that, thank God he did not answer that prayer. But when it was time, he showed us the house he wanted us to have. And we received it, and we had it. In fact, the first house we bought, Mama and I were walking, and we're living in the co-op at the time. And she said, I believe this week we are going to have our house. I'm looking at this woman. This week we're going to have our house. We don't have down payment. We're going to have a house. Right. But I did something in agreement. If we don't go looking, we will not have it. So we kept on looking. But the amazing thing is we started looking when we did not have the down payment. Because we knew God had placed in our minds that it was time for us to move. That idea to move from where we were was a God idea. It was a God idea because in the realm of the spirit, it was there. My problem was, how do I download what is in the cloud? Are you with me? I needed to have a means to download that information. And the first part of it was the word that she spoke. We're going to have it this week. That week, maybe the same day or 2 days after, I'm driving, taking my daughter to school, and we come by the house that was going to be that first house. And my daughter, from the back seat, sees this house and says, Dad, is that the house that we are going to be moving into? And I'm thinking, God forbid. Why? Because it was the ugliest house on the street. We looked everywhere. We engaged another real estate agent. And that real estate, this new real estate agent, gave us a list of houses in the area. And one of the houses was this particular one. And we called our real estate agent, and that real estate agent took us from place to place and brought us to this house, which was a listing of this other guy. And I sat in the car, not moving. Mama left. The real estate agent left. They said, what are you doing in the car? I said, I'm not coming out. Why? This is an ugly house. I'm not coming out. That was the same house. Guess what? In the realm of the spirit, it is received. But I do not have it. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord says, just go. I heard Mama and the real estate say, just come. You don't have to buy this one. Just come. Just come and see it anyway. You've been seeing other houses. I got to that house. I did not cross inside. My foot just crossed the threshold. And I said, this is the house. This is the house. And guess what?
It was their house. And God provided the down payment we needed. I don't want to go through all the details, but finally, that which was in the realm of the spirit was now ours. We had it now. You get it? The obstacle was me. What part of the obstacle was me? I don't like siding. That's not my thing, siding. Who cares about the siding? You can remove the siding and change and do whatever it is. My problem was, it didn't look too nice. But when we had it, we changed it. It became the best looking house on the street. It still is, right now, on that particular street, the best looking one. What is it that you are losing that you should have? It's God's will for you, but you don't have it because you're putting obstacles in the way. Take the obstacles off. Remove it. And believe God for your miracle. Oh, this is not going to happen in my life because of this, and that is not going to happen because of this, and that's not going to happen because of this. You are putting obstacles in your way. Get it off. Get from receiving to having. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Luke 11, beginning to read from verse 9, Luke 11, verse 9, it's a restatement of what we just looked at. It says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be what? Given you. Seek, and ye shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if ye shall ask an egg, will he offer a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask him." He wasn't talking about anything about the Holy Spirit. So what's the point here about the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit is to reveal. He's the revelator. He's going to reveal to you and bring into your senses the visions of God. If you can see it in a vision, in a dream, in your imagination, it is meant for you. Hello? It is meant for you. God will not show you anything that he doesn't have in store for you. So you ask the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit prays for us without words. The Holy Spirit knows how to hone into that which is in the realm of the Spirit. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? Why does God give you the Holy Spirit? Because remember in Genesis 1, the Spirit of God brooded upon a dead world. Brooded upon the waters. And then when the Spirit of God brooded, then God spoke and said, first thing, let there be what? Light. Because in the dark, only the thief works. I need enlightenment. There's a lot of stuff that we have not or that we have received that we have not held because we have it. So many people give. But the key to receiving is not out there somewhere. Yes, there is a provision. He says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. The blessing of God is what the Bible says, make it rich. So when you give, your spiritual senses should be open to saying, God, what is it that you want me to do? Because he giveth us power to get wealth. But too many believers sit down and do not understand that the power that is given to go get wealth, that the wealth is over there and you need to go get it. But the wealth is also in your house. But you don't know that it is there. Like the woman with a pot of oil who said, I'm going to go sell my kids. Or rather, my debtors want to have my kids, enslave my kids. And the prophet says, what's in your house? So I got a pot of oil. He said, okay, this is what you need to do. Go borrow as much pots as you can borrow, shut the door, and take that oil that you've got and start pouring it into the pots that you borrowed. And the Bible says when she'd finished covering all the pots, she said, is there more? They said, no, that's all we've got. And the oil stopped flowing. She'd received the word. But guess what? The having was dependent on how many or how intense her obedience was in getting more. It doesn't make any sense. How is it that I am owing and I'm going to go borrow more? I'm already in debt. And you're asking me to go borrow more. Well, if that's the instruction from the Lord, that's the perfect instruction. Did you get that? She finally had what she had received when the prophetic word was spoken. It didn't just happen then. It was when the prophet spoke it, it was already there in the heavens. So the Bible says, fight a good fight with the prophetic word that you've received. Why am I fighting if I already have it? No, in the realm of the spirit, you have it, but you got to pull it down. Is that making sense? You got to pull it down. You got to pull it down. I have to pull it down. If I'm not able to pull something down that I know belongs to me, then I must go back to the Father and say, what is it that I'm missing? Sometimes it's an issue of timing. Sometimes it's an issue of disobedience or lack of understanding. It could be all kinds of things, but get that from the dialogue that you have with God, not from the dialogue that you have with yourself. Your own personal dialogue is limitation. You're limited. Not the dialogue from other people, because they are limited. That which God says is what makes sense. When we could not pay for where we were on Maryland, 382 Maryland, and God says it's time for this church to move. I said, move where? He said,
get in the car, I'll show you. And I drove all the way from Maryland, just following the direction of the Lord, and he comes and he shows me this building. He says, take that building. And by the way, if you don't take it, I'll personally close down this church. I said, what on earth? God is going to close down the church when I can't pay for the building I have over there? Guess what? In a month and a half, we were in here. Because in the realm of the Spirit, it was already done. All God wanted me to do is line up. If you're not receiving something, find out why. Daniel was praying, asking God for something, and he did not relent. He did not stop. And the word of God came and says, the same day that you asked, an angel was dispatched. But it was going through a battle in the heavenlies. Hello? Sometimes there are things battling to hold back what God says belongs to you. And you must declare war on the devil's war and say, whatever it is that is blocking what belongs to me, get out of the way. I have it. Amen? And watch out. The thing that the devil will use very strategically to stop you from having what God has given to you is unforgiveness, bitterness. If there's strife and unforgiveness raging around you, know that you are close to your miracle. Let me say that again. If there's strife and the temptation to have unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart is raving and raging around you, is because you're close to your miracle. I'll say it the third time. If you have issues trying to block you, people getting on your nerves, trying to shut you down, and all kinds of trouble is happening, and you want to be bitter and be offended with people or even with God, hush up. You are closer to your miracle than you think. It is right there, and you're just about to receive it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not even close to being dealing with this subject. I'm still in my introduction on it. But we're going to continue. Remember what we read this morning in Psalm 84, verse 11, the B part. God, no good thing will God withhold from you. No good thing will God withhold from you. I'm saying withhold from you because I am believing that you know and believe that you are the upright of the Lord. Who is it that walks uprightly? Psalm 1 tells us that blessed is the man. Look at this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. They're not listening to the counsel of the ungodly. This is what CNN and Fox News and CBC are saying. This is what the government is saying. This is what... No. That's not the counsel I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow the counsel of God. And the counsel of God many times don't make sense to the natural mind. Therefore, I am going to shut off the natural mind and have the mind of Christ. Did you hear what I just said? I'm going to have the mindset of Christ. I'm going to have the mind of God on this matter.
And what God says about this matter is what is going to go. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Sit them down in numbers of 50s. So that we can do what? Can you see this 5,000 hungry, angry men? And they go. And as they were doing it, the food is multiplying in their hands. And they end up with 12 baskets, more than they started. Where does, under any circumstance, does that make any sense to anybody? We need a God sense. God sense is better than good sense. Amen? You just follow the direction of the Lord. Don't allow your past experiences to debunk what God is showing to you in the now. Because I know you've had experiences before, or you've heard the stories of other people's experiences, and that's why you think something is not going to happen. No, no, no. I'm not deciding or making decisions based on what I know in the natural. I am making a decision based on what God knows in the realm of the Spirit that He has ordained and perfected concerning me. Praise God. That's how you end up having, staying focused. Come say, stay focused. Say it again, stay focused. You stay focused. Don't allow anything to distract you. Well, are you still believing for that thing? Yeah. But more than believing, I believe I have received it. And I will have it. Time is going, time is going, time is going. It is not going to happen. Just let that thing go and start afresh. Do you remember the passage I was reading, ask and you shall receive, or ask, knock? Well, the next verse is about the road is wide. The road is straight. So, Jesus, you jump into another subject. No, 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 no. He's saying, be focused. Wide road all over the place. He said, that's the road that's going to lead you to destruction. This idea and this idea and this idea and this idea. It does not take many ideas to cause your breakthrough. It takes one idea. One idea born out of the heart of God turns everything around. God may give you an idea about collecting boxes, cattle. For what? Just collect the boxes already. And you'll find out that all those boxes that God said you should collect and keep, one day, something changes. And that's what everybody wants. You just follow the instruction. It doesn't have to make sense to you. As long as it makes sense to God, you will have a manifestation. So, enter ye in at the straight gate. I used to think that was just about going to heaven. And the Lord says, no, 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 no. It is that, but really what I was really trying to tell you is get focused. Don't get all over the place. The broad way leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. You know, if you continue with the ideas that everybody else has, you will all be fighting for the same prophet.
Yeah? But if you follow the instruction of the Lord, you'll be ahead of the pack. Before they know what's happening, you've already arrived. Praise God. Someone say, I have not only received, I have. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll continue with that subject. I might continue tonight or next week. But I want you to get it settled in your spirit that there is a difference between receiving and having. That's all I really wanted to get to today. There's a world of difference between receiving and having. But you can have what you what? Say. You can what? Have what you say. You can have what? What you say. You're going to have what you say. You can ask and receive, but you're going to have what you say. You ask, you receive, but you have what you what? Say. You ask and you what? Receive. But you have what you say. So asking is different from saying. Is that enough hook for you? Okay. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your manifold blessings. Today, Father, we do not only ask, but we receive grace to say. The grace to say so that we have. Mighty God, help us. Help us as your sons and your daughters to be fully equipped with the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge of the kingdom of God, that these keys may bring into our lives the release and the manifestation of God's will. Thank you, Father, that it is so done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, we will honor God with our giving. And remember, one of the things the Lord taught us to do is that He speaks over our giving. And remember, part of what we talked about today is that as you give, keep your spirit open to the insights of God. What God may want you to do next, He will show you. How you're going to receive, He will speak to you. He will tell you what you ought to do. As you connect with that, you'll experience the favors of God. You'll find favor in the sight of God and in the sight of men. Amen? Hallelujah. Are there healthy people here? Yes, it is in the realm of the spirit. By the stripes of Jesus, ye what? Were healed. But you have to have your healing. Amen? By speaking it. Praise the Lord. You will be served your elements of communion. And as you have been served, ready your heart to experience all that the Father has for you. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone that needs to be served that hasn't been served your communion? We encourage people to pick up their communion elements when they're coming into the service. But if you, for any reason, did not do so and you need to be served, please wave your hand and your ushers will get to you. Praise the Lord. Looks like we're good. Praise the Lord. In 2 days, Pastor Pat is going to be a plus one. She's adding one more year.
So our birthday on Tuesday.
Our birthday on Tuesday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's share in communion together and we're going to sing happy birthday to her. All right? Father, we thank you for the body. We not only receive the benefits of the body, by faith we have that which we have believed you for. We speak prosperity. We speak provisions. We speak divine health. We speak peace which passes all understanding. We speak wholeness to every aspect of our lives. Everything about us is made whole. We are sickness and disease free. Amen. We are blessed in every area.
Yes.
Lord, oh God, as we take off this body, we affirm and confirm
Amen.
That which you have already done for us.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name,
Amen.
Take and eat.
Praise the Lord. I had to chew mine, so praise God. Somebody say, I receive the perfect will of God.
I receive the perfect will of God.
And I have them.
And I have them.
Take and drink.
Praise the Lord. Before we sing happy birthday to Pastor Pat, is anyone here today that needs to turn their lives over to God and say, God, I need you in my life. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to have that which you have for me. I mean, if you know, as far as God is concerned, everybody has been given the gift of salvation. Everybody in the planet. But only those that speak it by confession have it. Amen? We all need to have what God says is ours. Anyone that needs to turn their lives over to the Lord, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Well, thank God for everyone here. We celebrate the goodness of God in all of our lives. And let's just say happy birthday. Who?
Andrew's birthday.
Oh, Andrew. Andrew's birthday is this.
He always forget his house, so.
That's on Thursday?
It's all right, Moist. This week. So.
This week.
And all those who have a celebration.
Amen.
We're going to bless Sister Pat.
Amen. Yes. She'll be our point of contact for everyone else that's celebrating this month.
Amen.
Okay. Give us a... Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless Pastor Pat. Happy birthday to you and many more. Hallelujah.
Blessings.
Bless you.
We wish you divine health, peace, joy, strength to strength, glory to glory, youthfulness to youthfulness. She looks amazing.
Amen.
She's already going almost the other one. So praise the Lord. We won't say until you hit the next big one. Amen. You're getting close. So praise the Lord. Yes.
Bless you. We appreciate you and we celebrate you. Amen. And we thank God for every one of you. Continue to enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we'll say bye to those who are on YouTube and Facebook, and want to say blessings to Sister Jeanette.